Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone. I am Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
And welcome to a special Valentine's Day edition of It's a Thing, where we are filled with love for all of you for supporting our little show and letting us bop around the world looking for neat things and checking out people's cabinets and asking them about their drinks and just trying to uncover the things that we're all going to be talking about either now or in a couple months or for years to come.
I discovered both of my things while outside.
Me too, while traveling.
It's an outside episode of It's a Thing.
It's an outside.
We've gone outdoors.
Inside, actually, one of my things is indoors and one of them is profoundly outdoors. And it's amazing.
But thank you, everyone, for joining us and being in our hearts on this Valentine's
Day.
I
know. And I think it's really appropriate that we're all, you, me, and producer Rich, and the Discord, spending it together.
Love you guys. Beep. You're my Valentine. My things are drugs and alcohol. I'll start with the drugs.
Love you, bro. Okay, let's do this.
I don't know how to pronounce this because I only saw it on a sign. It was a sign at the side of the road for what we used to call in my day a head shop. And it was, you know, a little sandwich board.
You did. That was not your day. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not even going to let you portray yourself as of the age when things were actually called a head shop. Come on.
Oh, no. We totally called it a head shop when I was in college in 1988. Yeah.
Seriously? I thought that was like a name from the 60s. And I was like, no.
It probably is, but we were still using it.
Okay, that's adorable. Never mind. Yeah. Sorry, my bad.
So it was like CBD oil and, you know, blah, 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 blah. All the stuff you know, e-cigarettes, e-juice, and Kratom, K-R-A-T-O-M.
Release the Kratom?
Kratom. I'm sure someone in Discord will know how to properly pronounce
it. I'm looking it up right now. What is the definition of Kratom and how to pronounce it?
That's what I thought as I was driving down the street. I'm like, what is that? Well, it is an evergreen in the same family as coffee. It's indigenous to Southeast Asia, Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, that area. And the US FDA says there is no evidence it's safe or effective for anything.
And yet it seems like it's a thing.
People use it a lot for chronic pain or even to treat opioid withdrawal because apparently it triggers the same receptors. But it's getting a growing recreational user base because weirdly, at low doses, it energizes you, and at high doses, it sedates you, supposedly. And you can suffer withdrawal if you stop using it. So it's got some kind of addictive property, apparently not as much as like an opium or something like that, but it can lead to withdrawal. It's already a controlled substance in 16 countries. The U.S. has only banned it for import and manufacture as a dietary supplement. Canada only lets it be sold as incense.
What?
Not for ingestion. And so there's a growing movement. The thing might be ban Kratom. Did we figure out
apparently,
how to pronounce it?
By the way, yes. Many pronounce it as Kratom.
Kratom.
And others call it Kratom.
Like but I think Kratom, when someone says, Tom, why didn't you go to the doctor earlier? You're Kratom.
Kratom.
Yeah.
But a little less on the Tom. So like Kratom.
Kratom. Okay. Here's a definite thing that's happening in like Thailand and places in Southeast Asia where this has been a thing for a long, long time. The 4x100 cocktail. It's kratom leaves, cough syrup, Coca-Cola, and ice.
Holy God, that sounds fatal. That is a bad idea. I feel really, you know, I'm a little bummed that literally just as I'm discovering this thing, thanks to you, it is definitely being cracked down upon. In fact, when I looked it up to see how to pronounce it, I immediately got a story from the OregonLive.com about how, headline, Kratom crackdown for youth possible in Oregon.
Yeah, so 2014 is when they really started to move against it. They've been talking about making it a Schedule One controlled substance in the U.S. Like I said, other countries have already done similar things. There were a tenfold increase in Kratom-related poisonings between 2010 and 2015. Yeah.
In California, and they're talking about it too. I had no idea. Yeah. So users say it's eased their chronic pain and other health issues. And and San Diego County supervisor stopped just short of declaring it a public nuisance.
Yeah. So that's why when I saw it on the little sandwich board sign as I was driving down the road, I'm like, that's new. That's probably been around for a year, couple of years, and I don't know about it, but it's like popping up. And that makes sense. If as the rhetoric for banning it increases, more people find out about it and then want to try it. And yeah.
Oh, my God. This is fascinating. Kratom. Had no idea. And Kratom. Absolutely, it does seem like, I love the at low doses, it energizes people, and at high doses. The article says numbs pain, but yes.
Bums, yeah, yeah. It has some people say it has an antidepressant effect as well. But, you know, that's the thing a lot of times with substances. People claim it does pretty much anything they can say it does to convince you to buy it. So it's hard to tell which of these might be real. And the FDA has said, we don't find it safe and effective on anything. But there also haven't been a lot of clinical trials on it.
Well, I was going to say that's what the FDA has been saying about marijuana for years while simultaneously refusing to invest any money and finding out if it actually works. So who knows? Sounds like.
Yeah. We don't know one way or the other. It's hard to uphold that kind of opinion in this day and age. But, you know, it's like, could be good, could be bad. Don't know. Maybe we should try to find out, since a lot of people seem to be using it.
It's for sure a thing. Effects may also include a boost in energy, talkativeness, increased confidence, and increased levels of concentration and focus. And then there's the pronunciation part is my favorite thing in this article at kratomguides.com, which cites a whole bunch of Reddit forums, people arguing about how to pronounce it. That is fascinating.
Oh, yeah. Huh. So I guess it could be Kratom.
It can be Kratom or Kratom, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my first thing is a bunch more wholesome, I guess.
Oh, good. Maybe? We need that.
Yeah.
We need a chaser.
Even though I, giggle like a 14-year-old boy every time I say it, but pickleball.
Oh, pickleball.
Pickleball?
Have we not mentioned pickleball? Wow.
I mean, listen, I don't know. I can't promise that we haven't mentioned it because you know me. But pickleball is a thing. I belong to this swim and tennis club, and they just introduced pickleball and they're obsessed with it. It's pickleball lessons and pickleball this and the new court and the blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, especially all the tennis people I know are talking about it, because I think it's it's kind of in the category that squash was in a little bit in the 80s, where you can play it inside and it's not, you don't have to work as hard. I mean, squash people played kind of crazy, but you don't have to work as hard as tennis. I think you don't have to run as far because it's near as I can tell, a smaller court with paddles instead of rackets, and then maybe almost more a wiffle ball type thing. When I was looking it up to see if I could verify the thingness, I found an article at statecollege.com, and it's pickleball, the racket that's taking over America.
Get it?
Published today.
I know we talked about it, but not on the show. We must have talked about it in the pre-show or something when you were thinking about putting it in, maybe, because I definitely remember telling you that I played pickleball in high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Back when we used to call things head shops, I was also playing pickleball.
In the not 60s?
Yeah. But we used wooden rackets and basically, like you say, wiffle balls. Fast forward to me being in Vegas for the Frog Pants event, and I'm walking out to this rooftop pool at the Plaza Hotel to meet some friends, and there is a pickleball championship happening on the top of the Plaza Hotel, and they have for sale these graphite pickleball paddles and specially official licensed pickleball ball. And it's pickleball has come a long way, and it's serious now. Serious
sport.
It is
really. And it seems, by the way, it's not even that new. When I looked it up, it sounds in 2017, The Chicago Tribune was reporting that the growth of pickleball is on fire. And if that was like the start of the sort of trend, it has peaked now because it is everywhere. Everyone is talking about pickleball. Like you just like walk down the street and you just overhear. And in fact, on this national, like it's the National Parks Association site, they're talking about like park trends and what are they going to do. And as of the end of last year, they were like, what's going to come after pickleball?
Korfball.
They said pig yoga.
Oh, okay.
Which you probably didn't see coming.
Did not see that coming.
Yeah. Yeah. The parks say, I think pickleball is going to hang on a little longer before pig yoga displaces it. Although that goat yoga thing is a thing where they put a goat on top of people. Like, I don't know where that came from.
But is pig yoga competitive?
No, I know exactly. I'm like, they're not even in the same category.
I mean, I could see that being like, you know, the newfangled county fair has the pig yoga ribbons.
Pickleball. I'm not proud of that. I'm really not. But now I'm going to have to try it because we have it up at the club and I guess it's time. Try the pickleball.
Oh, man. Pickleball. I can't believe pickleball is back. It really is. I guess I should have stuck with it.
It's really funny.
And I could have rode the wave.
It's not too late if you take some Kratom to just like relax your muscles and then hit the pickleball.
No, I mean, I'm a little worried. Maybe I'll just get drunk instead.
Here it comes.
Agave-based spirit that can't be called tequila because Mexico requires that old tequila be made in Mexico if it's going to be called tequila. I think there's a little exception for U.S. with bottling, but essentially, if it's not made in Mexico, pretty much you can't call it tequila. But there is a company, it's been around for like almost 10 years now, called Desmond G in India, started by a guy who wanted to drink margaritas. And he was like, you can't find freaking tequila in India. It's like, when you find it, it's too expensive. Nobody drinks it. It's nowhere. It's like, I want to start making tequila in India. So there's like an affordable version for people. And of course, you can't call it tequila. So it's an uphill battle. But apparently he's built it up to where he's shipping 10,000 crates a year, mostly in India, mostly locally where he is. And I think Karnataka. But he also does some export, you know, and he's branched out. He's doing a local spirit called Mahua now. He does a few other liqueurs. But I just love this. Like, yes, agave-based spirit. Catch on in India. Go. Agave-based
spirit. You can do this. I had no idea that tequila was in the kind of champagne category. Yeah, yeah. Where there were those sort of limitations. That's really
interesting. Anybody who has a trade deal with Mexico has to honor that. So South Africa had a locally based tequila maker until South Africa reached a trade deal with Mexico and they had to stop calling it tequila and then they went bust.
Oh my God, that is fascinating.
Yeah.
And then there's this really interesting article that Tom put in our rundown about how Mexico can't even match tequila demand because as we have discussed many times on the show, tequila and mezcal are huge things. There was even an article today in like some sort of a Goop site or something that a friend sent me that was like, are there benefits to drinking tequila every day?
Yeah, I know.
And then it was like, here are the good and bad things that can come from drinking tequila every day. And I was like, no.
The good. You feel great for the first half hour.
I just was like, what is even happening with tequila that we're to the point where people are like discussing the relative good or ill of drinking it every day?
Well, and the thing about India is the place where he makes it has a similar climate to the places in Mexico where agave is grown, which is very, you know, it's a very limited region. Right. And so he's like, I can totally grow this stuff here. I just can't call it tequila. It's like, What is it? Is it Cabernet that's really Bordeaux, but you can't call it Bordeaux for the, you know, same reasons? Like, it's basically Cabernet. The same.
Cabernet is pretty different from Bordeaux, but there must be something.
There's something that is grown in California, and it's, like, basically the same grapes, but they can't, you know, they can't call it.
I'm just looking over at our Discord, where At Porter is, I guarantee, about to answer this question for us, because he will know. Anyway, what that article says is that not only can Mexico not keep up with tequila production, but to your point that maybe India can pick up the slack, but they're going to have to figure out a way. They're going to have to make a, they're going to have to write a new trade deal with Mexico that lets them call it tequila, because agave-based spirit.
Yeah, because it's an uphill battle to get people to realize that agave-based spirit means tequila.
It's the same thing. I don't know. I like it, though. I can see them going for it, and it sounds a little less like, I mean, I know tequila has a new connotation because now it's like keto and it's like the clean alcohol, but it still has like a little bit of a trashy vibe to it.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, so, mezcal, I think, is benefiting from the keto thing because it doesn't have that tequila association.
Oh, that is amazing. All right, well, I'm going to go back to somewhat wholesome more time.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I've been dragging us into the gutter.
No, I love it. I mean, I told you guys about the Batanga, the greatest drink of all time.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Tequila, Mexican Coke, lime, and a little salt, because I can't remember if we said it on the pre-show or the show.
Or an agave-based spirit.
And
it's an like Indian Coke, lime, and a little salt.
A cola, an agave-based spirit, cola, lime, and a little sal. Anyway, I discovered this weekend, and it does indeed seem to be a huge thing, if not a newish thing, the big green egg.
I assume this is not actually a 1,000-year egg or anything related to a chicken.
I was deeply confused when people were talking about it because someone had produced some absolutely perfect steaks. And I was like, oh, how'd you cook these steaks? They're so smoky and yummy. And she said, the green egg. And I was like, so did you get them from a restaurant or what did you do? So it turns out the big green egg is like a cult favorite barbecue type device.
Oh.
But it's basically like, it's like the Instant Pot of barbecues. Because it's a ceramic charcoal grill and smoker. And then it has sort of like multiple racks. And so you can make yummy, smoky grilled food in there. But then there's even like pictures that like people do like bread on one level while the steaks are cooking below or something. I don't really know. But it's really, I mean, they are so well branded. Like people are obsessed with it. Obsessed. Uh-huh. And then they talk about the egg experience.
Of course they do.
And you could also buy egg accessories.
Yes, you should.
Such as convectors and
stop
and baking stones.
So wait, so this is a grill, it's not a device for a grill.
Nope, it's a grill. Like you burn, okay, you burn in it, but it's ceramic.
You don't add
it's
this
covered
to your existing one. You're like, this is my new, I'm buying the big green egg, that's my new grill.
Yeah, and this is your jam, and then you like cook and stuff.
And so the difference is it's got a round top instead of a square top, but it's bigger than the round grills that you used to get from Weber.
Well, also, but it's also made out of ceramic.
And so it's got a pressure gauge on it.
It's more
like
enclosed. It's more, maybe you get a little tajine type situation.
Okay.
Yeah. The difference, according to App Porter again in the Discord, the difference is that it has a ton of thermal mass. And he repeats in all caps, a ton. Because ceramic, I guess, it holds in the heat really well or something.
Right.
And then maybe, so it says, according to, there's a big article about like a big, you know, grilling show coming up. And they're having this thing called a polar barbecue in some, you know, in Canada or whatever. But the guy basically says that the reason it's so great is that it's so well insulated. So you can cook things for a really long time. But it's almost like also an oven, like how you can make bread in it. You can make fish. You can make whatever you want. But it's all about the insulation.
I see in this story that you have here from hngnews.com that it you can cook year round because it's so well insulated. Doesn't matter what temperature it is outside.
Yep. You can use it as a smoker, a grill, an oven for baking. You can roast in it because you can cook for a really long time. I mean, really, it truly is the outdoor Instant Pot, near as I can tell.
I don't know enough about this to tell, but I'm skeptical that this is that different than something that already exists. I'm waiting for somebody to tell me, like, really, it's just a rebranded X. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels
thermal
like
mass, bro.
Like
thermal
nobody
mass.
Had thermal mass before. This was the I don't know.
It's like a Le Creuset, but a barbecue.
It does. It looks like a Le Creuset for sure.
Big green egg. Now I'm gonna have to get one for the party.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm gonna have to make like 9 different kinds of food. For the party. I mean, there isn't really like there are smokers and there's, you know, but you keep having to feed them. I wonder if you have to, I wonder if you could feed less fuel because it holds in so much heat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you know of a ceramic outdoor?
Not grill? Outdoor, right.
That like seals so
maybe
and stuff?
It's, maybe that's what it is. Is somebody figured out like, oh, let's take that clay oven and put it on wheels.
I wonder how much it weighs.
It's got to weigh a ton.
I'm thinking it weighs a lot. It looks awesome. I want one.
Miranda Janelle says, thermal mass sounds like a hot yoga version of Catholicism.
And this is why, if you are not already, you should really become a supporter of the show on Patreon, patreon.com/itsathing, and connect your Patreon account to your Discord, and then you can join us live during every taping each week, which frankly is the best way to do it. Because everybody in the Discord is either A, unbelievably knowledgeable, way more so than we are, or hilarious, or both.
We like to play Stump at Porter because at Porter knows everything we've ever covered on the show.
Exactly. But Linux Fiend reports that the double XL Big Green Egg weighs 375 pounds.
That's all. So it's also a workout plan.
Yeah, exactly. It's an instant ulcer. I'm going to get one. I'm going to say those steaks were amazing.
How'd you make these steaks? And how'd you get that hernia? Big Green Egg.
Same answer. Two questions,
it's
one
a geological
answer.
Feature at Porter's. All right, let's get to some emails. Hollyhock wrote in on Crocs and Disney. She says, Crocs. I never was a fan of Crocs. My wife has had a few pairs for years, but just for around the house. I don't think she ever wore them out. Maybe to the grocery store years ago. I don't know. But anyway, when we moved to the house we're in now about 2.5 years ago, I wanted to buy new slippers. House is all hardwood floors, so it could be a little tough standing and walking on that a lot. I contemplated several types of slippers, but was worried about my feet being too warm. My wife convinced me to try Crocs as slippers, and I'm sold. I only wear them in the house. This is partly because I can't imagine wearing them out, and partly because by not wearing them outside, they stay cleaner in terms of tracking stuff on the soles. I very much consider them indoor-only slippers, but I have to say they really do save your feet when standing and walking on hard surfaces a lot.
Mm-hmm. They're totally back. They're a huge thing now. Like, they did a collab. I mean, I did this on the other show, but literally there's like a Crocs Post Malone collab. Like, they are totally back, but I will say I bought Eli and I some for Christmas, and I actually got us Hanukkah Crocs. I got him blue ones and me white ones.
Hanukkah Crocs.
Ha! Because I thought it was so funny, but we both are like, but we don't wear these outside though.
Yeah. You're in the Hollyhock section. Also, thanks to Hollyhock, Shannon K, That Charlie Dude, and Fat Emo Kid for reminding us that the thing we were trying to remember about dressing up at Disney without being in costume was called bounding. Hollyhock says, I had never heard of this before seeing a YouTube video related to the practice. Molly, you said something like licensing, ugh, when we were talking about it, and I always assumed it was more related to Disney not wanting park visitors to mistake other park visitors for employees or characters. Hadn't thought about it being a licensing issue, but maybe it's a little of both.
Yeah, I had never heard of this, and all of the people who wrote into us about it were so excited, and they were just like, dude, duh. Bounding, and I was like, what?
Bounding. Oh, God's can't believe I green remember earth. That. Yeah.
What? Because why would you? Because it makes no sense. But apparently, it does come from the origin of this phrase is Disney bound, as in you are bound for Disney.
Oh, I thought it had to do with boundary or something, but that makes more sense, actually.
Yeah. Like boundary, as in you're not allowed to wear their licensed stuff or you don't want to. I mean, I think it was like it's meant to be inexpensive. So there's a site called disneybound.co. Welcome to the official hashtag disneybound website. Disneybound is meant to be an inspiration for you to pull together your own outfits which work for your body and wallet, whether from your closet or local mall. And then there's like all these outfits that look kind of like the Beast from Beauty and the Beast, or kind of like a prince, but the then one, they're gender fluid.
Yeah. The ones I saw when I went to the Galaxy's Edge before it was open to the general public, when you had to get, you know, reservation in advance, were stellar. I'm like, yeah, you just look like you live on Batuu. Like, that's what I would imagine them wearing. But it's crazy.
Well, what's so interesting is that a lot of these, like, at least the outfits on Disneybound are not overtly costumes. At
right.
All.
No, that's the genius of it, right? It's like, oh, that's just a dress, but it also works perfectly for X, you know, whatever it is you're wanting to be fitting
in with.
And then
some of them are, yeah, in outfits influenced by a Disney character. I mean, thank you to everyone, because I learned a lot about this. I had never heard of it, and everybody was like, oh, duh.
Would you say your knowledge of Disney has advanced by leaps and bounds?
I would not say it, but you would. Speaking of Crocs, Jay Martin sent us in the KFC and Crocs collab that no one asked for. And yet here we are.
Uh-huh.
Collab. Nobody can get enough of the collabs.
Chicken legs on your Crocs. Okay.
Okay. It's. I think, if you had to choose, would you go fried chicken croc or In-N-Out Ked? Did you see those making the rounds?
See, I want fried chicken Ked. Is that not on the menu?
I don't know. No.
Yeah. I want fried chicken, but I'd rather wear Ked, so I'd go In-N-Out Ked, because I also love In-N-Out.
I know. Come on, video. Show me the croc. All right. I'm focused.
Show me the croc.
Amanda in Tennessee wrote to us on the topic of cowboy boots and said, I got my daughter cowboy boots in January 2019, which seems to be in the thing range. She really likes them, and I think they look super cute on her. They are very versatile and have lasted longer than any of her other shoes, and she insists that they are cowgirl boots and corrects anyone who calls them cowboy boots.
Yeah. Please refer to your boots the way you want them to be referred to and instruct
Sassy.
Others accordingly. Robin left a comment on the itsathing.me blog about two things in one. Robin says, I realized today that I'm wearing a thing, but there's more to it than that. I bought a nice silk blouse at a thrift store a couple weeks ago. It hung in my closet for those couple weeks because it's been too cold to wear it. I put it on to wear to work today and realized it's got the Chrysler Building look. Two things in one.
Two things in one. Way to rock the double thing. Love it.
I love that.
And then Coyote Brown in Discord, which we've mentioned several times on the show today, says that he writes in with a Hydro Flask Watch 2020 update, which is that now Hydro Flask makes a new 20-ounce coffee flask with a flex sip lid.
Whoa.
Will Molly's coffee cup journey finally be over? Man, those of you who are Buzz Out Loud fans will know this has been a long journey. And those of you who are not should know, we're talking about basically content Tom and I used to make like 15 years ago.
Right. Flex sip lids have been hard to say throughout that entire time.
Flex sip lids. But I kind of want the one, the 12-ounce one with this little mug. It's just like a regular old coffee mug. This is where mug came from, by the way. This is why Buzz Out Loud had mugs. And you can shout mug on Twitter or shout mug at us on the street and we'll know what you mean.
Yep.
Then they're really nice. Guys, I left my Hydro Flask on an airplane. And so now I have to I know. I'm so sad.
Oh,
now I'm probably
going
to have to buy a new one. But by the time I buy a new one, it'll be over and there'll be a new water bottle.
You should just get the hydroflask.com coffee.
I really should, because that's really nice. And I've been going back to my old, whatever they were called, the swole.
Swole.
It's not the swole. What are those ones? You know, the woke. The woke one. Anyway, it's so embarrassing because it's like from two water bottle trends ago.
You know, what's funny is I went through SFO for the first time since they changed the policy to not allow plastic single-use bottles of water. And so I was curious how it was going to be handled. And I was, of course, I found that they're still selling bottles of water in aluminum bottles that could be reused if they weren't so ugly. To maybe not have been the best solution, because I'm like, how many people are going to buy these and just throw them away?
I know, exactly.
I mean, I guess they'll recycle them, but you could recycle the plastic too, so I don't know.
Uh-huh. Don't get me started. That and straws.
Straws. Anyway. Don't get me started on straws.
Amazing.
Let's pivot to the shout-outs, because this week our producer Rich has created our shout-outs featuring lyrics from Goodbye by Night Ranger.
I don't know if I know that song. Do we need to listen to it real quick so we can get the rhythm right?
Or is it better that we don't?
It might be. Let's do this dry. I think it'll be funnier.
Okay. All right.
There once was a time never far from my mind on the beach on the 4th of July. I remember Mike Akins.
And you on the edge, never close, never far, always there when I needed Jake Woods.
But it's hard leaving all this behind me now, like a schoolboy, so lost, never found until Gabriel Cohen.
And all this could be just a dream. So it seems I was never much good at Louis St. Amour.
Bravo, Bruce.
Only Louis St. Amour could be good at Louis St. Amour.
Bravo.
Well done,
Gabrielle,
Rich.
And it might be Gabrielle because it's the lady spelling. So Gabrielle, if I got it wrong, I'm sorry. And thank you. Thanks to those of you who support the show at the shout out level. Thanks to everybody who supports the show at any level. It keeps us going every single week. And really, thank you for listening. We love you because it's Valentine's Day.
Yay, be mine. You can also email us your things to feedback@itsathing.me.
That's right. Please do that because that's where all the good stuff comes from. And yeah, we will talk to you again next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.